want to turn to Romans, the 11th chapter, in the 22nd verse. It feels so good to be back in our home congregation. We've just gone a week, but a week and a half or so. But it says here, Romans 11 and 22, it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off." You know, I just want to think a little bit this morning about the scripture. For quite a number of Sundays, for quite a while, we have been talking about the love of God. I've just felt so inspired about it. And we've been thinking about God's love to us, how that He formed us in love and He made us in love. He made us because He loved us. And then His affection has been toward people all from the time He made them. His affection has been toward you and I, and wanting us and desiring us. And we've talked about that and how that God wants to show His love through us then. That love that God is love. How many's heard that scripture? We've all heard that, haven't we? God is love. And you know, we find that so true. And the Lord wants His love to be shown in our lives. And He wants it to shine out and to go forth from our lives. And we've been beholding that. And I personally have been in awe of the love of God. It seems like it's just come clearer to me than ever before. The love that God has had for us, in us, to us, through us, and all of those things. But you know, this morning, the scripture says something very important here. It says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God." And I want us to think a little bit this morning about the severity of God as well, because that's a part of who God is as well. And we don't have to like it. We don't have to believe it. But it's the way it is. And there is God has proclaimed that He is love. And we find it to be so. But He made us. And He made us with purpose. And He made us with desire and design. And He loved us. And you know, He demands that we follow in His ways. He demands that we, as people, depart from sin and depart from wickedness all through the Bible, not just the Old Testament, but the New. We find that the Lord is looking for and demanding that we depart from evil and follow Him with a whole heart. It was His very purpose in the beginning. And so this morning, as we begin to look at some of the scriptures, we want to understand the mind of God a little bit. Because I think about the little illustration in the Bible about Abraham and the rich man. And we see where the idea was the rich man asked Abraham, can I not go back and tell my brothers about this place? And he said, no, he said, there's a great gulf fixed there. And he said, besides, they have Moses and the prophets. And I've always wondered at that. Why would he say that? They have Moses and the prophets, but they haven't been hearing them. But you see, this morning, the word of the Lord appears to all of us. And he said, they have that. They're hearing that. I spoke it to them in the night. I wake them up and I talk to them. And so they know. They really know. Now, do they have the dramatic and the drama kind of thing that would come from somebody rising from the dead and telling them about those terrible things? No. But you know what? They have the warning of the Lord. And this morning, I would like for all of us to grasp the goodness and the severity of God. For many weeks we have talked about the love of God and the goodness of God. And it is so true. And have we not all received of the goodness and the love of the Lord this morning? We love it, don't we? We love the things that God is. We love His precious Spirit and His presence in our life. We love drawing near to the Lord. He's the center of our life, is He not? But you know, toward those it says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in this goodness." I believe that there is not enough fear of God upon our people in our country today and upon the world. The fear of God has begun to lift, and people hardly believe that God is really real. They hardly hear anything. And even to preach a message in today's world on this kind of thing brings resistance. Just the very thought of it in the society we live in today, you feel the resistance from the enemy, not wanting people to know what lies ahead. But the Lord, in His mercy, He has given us His Word. And in His mercy, He gives His Word to His servants to give to us, to tell us what lies ahead, so that we cannot say, "I didn't know. Let me go tell my brothers about this place. Let me somehow, is there not, can you give me a drop of water for my tongue? Is there not any comfort in this place?" There's not going to be. That's what the Scripture tells us through and through. And so this morning, I just want to give us a little of the Word of the Lord this morning, that we see sin for what it is, that we run from it, that we depart from it, that we have no sympathies for it, that we don't take pleasure in those that do it, but that we have a rejection of it, that we warn people of it, that there is within us a resistance against those things. I believe the Lord wants to give us that this morning. He's given us His love, and oh, how we love it, don't we? Oh, how we thank God. But this morning, folks, we want to talk about not only the goodness, but the severity of God. I want to read some scriptures that without being in the Scripture, I wouldn't want to say it. But the Scriptures say it, and I just want to read some Scripture to us this morning. I want to look at Ecclesiastes, the 12th verse, the 12th chapter. And see what the wise man told us. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. It says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." Let's just hear. This was the end of the book. This was the last two verses written in it. Now let's just conclude the whole thing. "Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." Now what a word to finish up on. Let's just hear the conclusion of it all. Fear God and keep His commandments. Now, folks, we live in a religious world today that still that many times doesn't fear God, and they still think it's going to be okay. Folks, listen, the Scripture tells us through and through to fear God, keep His commandments, depart from sin, put it far from us. And so as we look into the Word, let's think about the place we're in, the life we're in. I'll be honest with you, I've been shocked lately. It just seems like I've been hearing from different places. Somebody said that they were at a gathering, a party for their work, and there was a lot of people there, quite a few. And there was only two of them, including all the religious people. There was only two of them that did not drink beer while they were at the party. And that made my soul shudder. It made me sick when I heard that. I thought about that. And then I was in another place not long ago, and somebody was quoting someone they knew, and they worked at a factory, and there was a lot of people there. And they said there was only two men in there that had that did not have a testimony that they were unfaithful to their wives. Only two in that whole factory. You know, that made me shudder to realize maybe we're in a time a little farther progressed than we think we are this morning. And so let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Folks, let's fear God. It's healthy to fear God. It's healthy to realize with whom we have to do. We will stand before Him one day. We will give account for the life that we have lived. And the Scripture tells us, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is what we're supposed to be all about, is loving the Lord and fearing Him and departing from evil in our lives. Because so shortly, right across the threshold, we're going to meet Him. And we're going to meet Him face to face. And so He's telling us ahead of time so that we won't get there and not know. He's telling us now, depart from evil and run from it. Put it away from you, because I'm very severe in my judgment, and I want you to know it ahead of time this morning. For God, it goes on to say, for God shall bring every work into judgment, whether with every secret thing. There's a lot of secrets today, isn't there? A lot of secrets. There's a lot hidden in the hearts of people that isn't manifest. But folks, this morning, the Lord is telling us now, God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Now, this is the Old Testament, but He brings it out more yet again in the New, doesn't He? With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, people have a way of glossing over their sins in one way or another, making allowance in one way or another. But folks, this morning, every work is going to come before the Lord. And those things that have not been repented of and turned from, I want to warn us now, in the fear of God, while we still have time, to run for our lives and to put those things behind us and away from us. The very road that leads to sin, let's don't walk up that knowing that I'm not there yet. I'm not at that place. I'm just toying with this thing. Put it away. Run from those things. Make safe distances between us and the enemy. The enemy has a way of latching on and dragging on down. There's a suction that once we get to a certain place, almost impossible. The feelings get involved. The emotions get involved. The desires, all those things become greater as we get closer to the lines that we shouldn't be approaching. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us in the fear of God that we run from those things that we know God is not pleased with, and put distance between us and those things. That's where our nation is missing it today. And we want to read a little bit about what God has said about nations. And look, this isn't complete. It's not exhaustive. But I will tell you, it has enough, I believe, to give us fair warning this morning. In Ephesians 5 and verse 5, I want to read to 7. Ephesians 5 and 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person. I'm amazed beyond measure at the uncleanness in our society today. Beyond measure. When you hear the staggering figures of how it has a grip on our society and how far it has gone, and how much those things have infiltrated people's lives, it's staggering. It's heart-sickening is what it is, because we realize the grip Satan gets on people's souls through these things. But you know, he says here, you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man. Now, who is a covetous man? It is a man that has elevated his love on something above God. Money, many times, things of this life. And he's elevated his affections and love to center on those things and to love them above the Lord. And you know, this morning, we have to intentionally, carefully keep our love separated from things. Because we all enjoy things, don't we? I have things that I could love. We all do. We enjoy some of those things. But see, there's a love that is due only to God. And that's our total devotion. And when we see ourselves separating it in a way that our affections and our love is more toward those things, and no longer can we really have time for the Lord, no longer is His purpose really our purpose, no longer is His service really our service, you know, when those things begin to happen, we know that something has replaced the love that ought to be there only for God. And so it takes work on ourselves. It takes humbling ourselves before God to be able to divest ourselves, if you will, of those things and not allow them a place in our life that's greater than that place God only needs to fill. He goes on to say that not only whoremongers and unclean persons or covetous men, who is an idolater, they're an idolater because their affection is bowing down to that thing instead of God or more than God. It says, hath any inheritance, that none of these have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, folks, no matter how we slice it, there's no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God if we do those things. We want to recognize that. We want to know that now, because someday we're going to stand before the majesty of God. And we're going to say, but Lord, and He's going to say, it was quite plain, very plain. We mess with the words, the scriptures. Folks, listen, God is one that He said, I want you to behold my goodness and my severity. I want you to know my ways now before then. And He says here, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God. And that's what we're talking about this morning, the wrath of God. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't enjoy it with them. Don't laugh with them. Don't get into into what they're doing and into their circles and your acceptance be there with them. And that's a big call, isn't it? Because we find all around us, it's that way. All around us, the world is so polluted and infiltrated with all of these things. This morning, we just want our hearts to be one. The Lord said, the Lord God is one Lord. He's not multiple. Let's look at a few scriptures now in Deuteronomy 11 and 26. And I just want to look at the gravity and seriousness of the scriptures this morning, where it tells us a little about these kind of things, about the evil that people become involved in. Deuteronomy 11 and 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. Now, folks, this is the word of the Lord. This is not someone saying this. I'm reading this. And God said, I set before you this day a blessing and a cursing. And He said, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now, this is a principle that's carried all the way through the Bible. This is not something that quit when Jesus came. It's a principle that's very clearly spelled out in the New Testament as well. And we find here this blessing and this cursing. I want to read a little about what it says concerning that. If we look on over in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and you will allow me to, I'm going to read and be extensive in my reading this morning. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to probably read the whole chapter. It's a long chapter. But I want you to listen to what the word of the Lord says. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now this is what God was telling the Israelites at that time. And he said, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be. Now, you know that word blessed? It means something, doesn't it? It means goodness and blessing going to be to you. And it says, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And you notice there's a word in there that all this, it's a hinge, and it says if. That word in verse, what was it, 13? If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Now, folks, this morning, I want to tell you, there is a hinge, and it's the word if. This is why, when we look at our nation, this is why we see ahead troubles and problems and disaster. Because our nation has chosen to do evil. It has chosen to love this world instead of God. It has chosen to love evil instead of righteousness. It has chosen to love adultery and fornication and all kinds of uncleanness. It has chosen to love things and money above God. And folks, when we see those things, we realize somebody has departed. That's why we fear God. We read His Word. I want to read on now and read what it says to those that depart from those things. Because you see, God is God. And He has the upper hand. And He has the nozzle. And He has the faucet handle, and he can turn things loose or shut them off. God's able to do those things. But it shall come to pass, this is verse 15, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee. Folks, the curses that are coming upon our land today, I believe, are not by accident. It is because we have forsaken the fountain of living waters and chosen out to ourselves our own cistern and our own ideas and our own thoughts. And it says, if to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, I want to challenge us to something this morning. Do you believe the word of the Lord today? Believe his word. Believe his prophets, the scripture says, and you'll prosper. Believe it and don't mess with it. Don't disbelieve it on any manner, for any reason. It goes on to say, cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You know, I think about these kind of things, and America, I don't believe, believes this. They don't believe it. And I think of a scripture that says, because judgment upon an evil work, how does that go? Is not executed speedily, something like, therefore the sons of men are set in them to do evil, something to that effect. You know, this morning, these things don't come instantly. They come after the Lord gets his basket full. And when he's full, and the cup of iniquity is full, then these curses come. And folks, we see a nation driven by evil. We ought to do everything we can to stop that, to tell people, to work against it, to tell people the fear of the Lord, to tell people the love of God. Isn't the love of God and the good things of God what built this nation into a great place? Isn't it what makes a home a beautiful land? Isn't the love and grace and goodness of God those things? Yes, it is. Let's spread the word, folks. We've got little time left, I'm afraid. And we better be doing our job this morning. The Lord, verse 20, shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with the mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Folks, it don't matter how great our army is. I want to tell you something. When God says these things, it happens. And when his cup is full, and when our cup is full, and he commands judgment, there will be judgment. And there won't be any turning back to it. One place the Lord told Jeremiah, he said, don't pray for these people anymore because their cup was full. And he said, well, I may have that in my notes, I'm not sure. But I want to read on here. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way, let's see, and flee seven ways before them. And thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thine sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and of thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast. Thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. Folks, this morning I want to tell you something. It's hard for me to read these scriptures, but it is part of the word of the Lord. I think we ought to know it this morning. I think it's important for us that we understand the fear of the Lord. And when those things come to us, we must fight. We must not allow ourselves to be overtaken by the world of sin all around us. It is prevalent, and it is a very strong force. Folks, we've got to fight for our life and for our freedom in the Lord. Now, I know we're speaking this morning more in spiritual things, but I want to tell you something. God sees these things, and he brings nations into condemnation and into trouble and judgment. I think I'll read on. Where was we here? Somebody help me out. What verse? 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. You see, this is because God hates sin. Sin is what separates man from God. He still hates sin, folks. This is the same God. He doesn't love sin any more than he did then. Will he forgive it? Will he change us? Yes, he will. Is he a gracious God full of mercy? The scripture says mercy and truth have met together. Thank the Lord that it is not only about judgment. Thank the Lord that there is mercy from God. When we run for our lives and when we run into Him and when we look to Him. But folks, we must see it for what it is. Just because everyone else does it don't mean that it's not that bad. Folks, the cup is getting full. The cup in our world is getting full. The Lord destroyed it once by a flood. But next time it'll be by fire. And so I believe the Lord is giving us, He's giving us His heart and His mind this morning. Turn from the wickedness and run from it. Snatch ourselves free by the grace of God. Whatever we have to do to kick loose, whatever we have to do to run for our lives and secure our place with the Lord, folks, we need to do it. Run for your life. Tear loose from the things of this world. It's coming to judgment, and it's not very far off, I don't believe. Folks, this morning, the Lord is sending us a little warning from His Word. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst, and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Is it possible that a nation could come against a nation like ours? If God sent them, it's possible. And He says He's going to do these kind of things to the nation that forgets God. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until thy high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest. Throughout all thy land, and he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Now, I'll be honest with you, I struggle with wanting to read this morning. But I'll tell you, if God sent it to us in His Word, it might be good for us to hear it every once in a while. We don't preach these kind of things every day, but folks, the fear of God needs to fall upon our land. It needs to fall upon our heart. And we need to turn if we are involved in any wickedness this morning. In the siege and in the straitness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege. And in the straitness or difficultness wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates, the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, and toward her son, toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful or very great, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and of sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. Ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land wherein thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there shall thou serve other God. There thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even, and at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships. By the way whereof I spake unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. And there shall ye be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. This morning, I just want to share those thoughts with us. I know that's very heavy. I've been told not to apologize for what the Lord gives me, and so I won't. I give you the word of the Lord this morning, folks. Let's run from those things. God doesn't view it any more favorably today than He did then. He's the same God, and He's not going to open His bosom to this sin. He said, don't let any man deceive you, folks, this morning. I want to just mention a little bit. We're going to run out of time, so I'm not going to be able to read much about it. But Asa was a king whose heart was all there for the Lord. He was a man that at one time knew wonders that God had done for him. He saw them. He was amazed by them. He loved God. He set his kingdom in order to serve the Lord. And the Lord fought his battles. And some of the greatest things in the Bible, some of the great ones are right there in Asa's life. He saw them happen. And when the enemy came against him, you know what he did? He went to the Lord and he spread out things before the Lord and told him, Lord, this is what these enemies are coming to do to us, and we don't have any might or power to be able to do anything about it. What are we going to do? And you know, God fought his battles, and he won victories that are very encouraging to read about. But I want to tell you, on down toward the end of his life, we see in the Second Chronicles in the 16th chapter, we see where Asa formed a league. There was an army that came against Asa. And you know, Asa's heart departed from the Lord. He didn't come before God and cast himself upon the Lord like he had in previous times. He sought him out his own ways, his own thoughts, his own mind. And instead of loving and trusting in God, he gave himself to the things. It says in verse 3 of 16, there is a league between me and thee. Now this was Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And he said, there's a league between me and thee. Now, you know, this morning, I just want to encourage us that our heart trusts in the Lord and that we love him. And we serve him and we trust in him above all things. And the things that come into our life, that we seek to the Lord with our whole heart. Lord God, have mercy on me. You know, if we get in trouble, that's the place to go. It's to go to the Lord and tell him, Lord, I'm in trouble. You know, God sees that, doesn't he? And he said he would look to that man that does that. He'll look to that person, that woman that does those kind of things. But Asa, he got kind of confident. He just got settled in his ways and he kind of forgot God, didn't he? And it says, he went and told his neighbor, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And you know, there was something about that that God took great offense to. This man, Asa, was trusting in his neighbor instead of in God for his troubles and his problems. Folks, this morning the Lord wants to be our all in all. He wants us to come to him and seek, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you know, there's counsel to be given and all those things, but the Lord wants our heart to trust in God. Look to him and humble ourselves to him. Depart from evil. And it goes on at verse 7. And at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Assyria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hands. For the eyes of the Lord, listen to this, run to and fro. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. You know, the Lord just put judgment on him right there. Asa, from now on, you're going to have wars. There's not going to be any more of that peace that I secured for you when you sought me. And how the Lord wants our hearts to be anchored in the things of God, away from the things of sin and wrong and doing it our way. That's kind of what sin is. It's doing it our way. It's doing it the devil's way. And he goes on to say, then Asa was wroth with the seer. He was wroth with this prophet of God. It made him very mad. And it says, he put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was very great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. You know, Asa was a good man, but Asa let his heart depart from his walk with God and his trust in God and his love for God. I just want to encourage us this morning, folks, the Lord wants us to be able to serve him in goodness and with many blessings upon our lives, and he will do that. But if our heart departs from him and wickedly goes our own ways and we search for our own answers, you know, the Lord said, I'll curse everything about you. Folks, we need to know that this morning. I don't like to say that because I think of God as a God of love. I think of him as my best friend. I think of him as the one to run to when something happens. I run to the Lord. Lord, because I know he is there. I know he will help us. Folks, that's who we see God as. But listen, to those that take the if, to those that don't, I want to tell you, he'll be your adversary. And in the end, we find him telling us, we hear sometimes hellfire and brimstone messages once in a while, don't we? Not too often in our day now. But you know what? It's still there, isn't it? And the Lord has told us that we are going to stand before him and the books are going to be opened and all those things are going to be opened before him and all the things that we have done, and they're going to be apparent. And it says here, this is Revelation 20. I like to print my scriptures out. Revelation 20 and 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, you know, the Lord says, Jesus himself said of that lake of fire, he said that he is going to say to those on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's who this was prepared for, the devil and his angels. And folks, the Lord is giving us fair warning now. Fear God and depart from evil, because that's going to be your final end if you don't depart from evil this morning. So I just want to leave us with those thoughts this morning, asking the Lord to help each one of us. The scripture says, be not wise in thine own eyes. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy joints. Folks, you want health to your life. Now, I'm not talking about that we won't ever be afflicted. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Don't you know God walks with us and he helps us through life? But it says, don't be wise in our own eyes. Many times I believe people are wise in their own eyes. They see a business deal or they see something going on and, hey, I can profit from that in an unjust way. Do you know that's being wise in our own eyes? Do you know when we take our own way and we jump in and we do things of our own self, many times the Lord sees that as wickedness, because he's wanting you and me. He's wanting our heart that we've been talking about for weeks, about the love of God toward our heart and toward our life, and how he wants our heart to be turned to him and to love him and to walk with him. The Lord loves that this morning. Oh, folks, let's don't think, well, it was just a slip. Let's run from evil. Let's put it away from us. I want to tell you, God don't look kindly upon it this morning. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes this morning. Let's all pray for one another. We've got to make it to heaven, folks. Every one of us, we've got to make it. We just can't let ourselves miss it. And we're the only one that can change that this morning. Amen.